www.thebeatnik.net.
Making your parenting more fit, making your kids have less fits, and the toughest one of all, making your husband wear clothes that fit. No mind doubles here, doing my own stunts, my own discipline, thinking, shrinking at the speed of light. Warp Factor 3, Mr. Sulu. Captain. It's never been done in the history of the universe. It would require changing all laws of physics that are known to exist. You have 3 minutes to do it, Scotty. Good morning, West. Good afternoon, East. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi here on The Doc Is In. Yeah, we're going with a little informal approach today. The Doc Is In. 877-573-78. Not giving you the rest. I think it's time that we all approach ourselves, putting forth our own effort. Yes, I could give you the whole number, but then what would that require on your part? Nothing. You would already be given everything. You would have to make very minimum effort to contact this program. All you'd have to do is dial, take you about 7 seconds. On the other hand, if I say 877-573-78, I leave out the last two digits, you can still call. You got to basically 99 combinations to try there, and in those 99 combinations, one of them is going to work. Got to put forth a little bit of effort. Can't do it all for you. There's a scene in The Natural. Natural's baseball movie. Roy Hobbs out in right field. Playoff game for the pennant. Big game. Hobbs had been injured 20 years before in a very sinful type of escapade, a youthful indiscretion. And the sin came back to haunt him on the final days of this critical season. Roy Hobbs, best ball player. Best there was, best there is, best there will be, in the lingo of the movie. It was important for the coach to win this game, to win the pennant. He could retire happy. But there was a clause in the contract that said, you lose, the team reverts to us. And the owners were bad guys, manipulative bad guys. They tried to buy Hobbs off. They knew Hobbs was a superstar. They tried to buy him off. He wouldn't do it. So they had a backup, plan B. They apparently had paid the pitcher off. The pitcher was mowing down the opposing team up until maybe, say, the third, fourth inning. Then he serves up a gopher ball. Gopher ball, baseball lingo for a pitch that you can take out of here. Hobbs was in right field. He saw this. He saw the pitch. He recognized it for what it was. The ball left the park on a rocket sled. He calls time. He ran in, and he said, Bobby, give him the real stuff. Great line. Give them the real stuff. The survey here that says, the Spirituality and Higher Education Survey conducted among Catholic college students by the Higher Education Research Institute. I don't know the questions. I don't know how they phrased them. I don't know who they sampled. I don't know the quality of their sample. I don't know any of that stuff. So I'm just going to report these numbers. It says here 75% of college students are searching for meaning and purpose. And that's in quotes in their lives. I don't know what that means. You know, the purpose could be have as many beer brawls on the weekends as you can possibly find. However, among Catholic seniors in college, 71% believe same-sex couples should be legally able to marry. 57% of Catholic seniors believe abortion should be legal. 49% of Catholic seniors believe if two unmarried people really like each other, it's okay to have relations, even if they're barely acquainted. leaving aside the notion, how can you really like somebody you're barely acquainted with? It's a bad choice of words, too, by the way, if you know what I mean. Now, of course, this brings up the issue in all these Catholic surveys that have these devastating numbers. Half of the seniors say they attend Mass only infrequently. And when somebody says infrequently, you know they're talking like once every 9 years. 22% do not attend at all. So you got three quarters of them don't even walk into a church with any regularity whatsoever. What's my point here? My point to bemoan the stats? No. No, most of you listening to this program would not want to have the same attitudes, beliefs, and depth of faith that you had when you were 22. By the grace of God, thank God, you came back and embraced your faith. So there is a certain percentage of spiritual maturing that occurs. Now, my point is this. Give them the real stuff. For whatever the reason, lay and clergy, if we water down our faith, because we nuance it theologically, or we don't agree with it, you know, the church really needs to get up with the times, or we're being very, 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 very pastoral, more pastoral than maybe theological, I don't know. For whatever the reason, if we don't give them the real stuff, here's what's happening. Now, some might look at these stats and say, ah, that's not why. Those stats would be even worse if we gave them the real stuff. Really? I'll tell you what, I don't know how they could be much worse. So at least we could try to go back and say, like it or not, here's what the church teaches, here's where we stand, and this is why. Yes, some issues are black and white. Yes, there is truth. Yes, not everything can be nuanced in shades of gray. How could we do any worse by giving them the real stuff? In psychology, they say that one of the best types of experiments you can do is a field experiment. In other words, a real-life experiment. You somehow set up and observe the conditions, and you see where they go. Well, many Christian faiths are dying on the vine, particularly many of the older traditional non-Catholic Christian faiths. They're having far more funerals than they're having baptisms, if they believe in baptism. Most do. Why? Well, look at where they've gone morally. Look at where they've gone with their teachings. They've stopped giving them the stuff they used to give them 300 years ago, 200 years ago, 100 years ago. And so we see what's happening to them. Is that where we want to go? I know I can't convince anybody to think differently than they're thinking quickly. I guess all I can do is say, look at the results. Look at the results. If somebody would have told you that basically three-quarters of 22-year-old Catholics in college, the bright and the best, are not even going to church anymore, and pretty much have swallowed the morals of the surrounding culture, what are you going to do? You got to give them the real stuff. And there is plenty, plenty of evidence that indicates when you do, a certain percentage of people, and it may be small, but a certain percentage of people are going to embrace it. They will say, gosh, I didn't know that's what the church teaches. Gee, that makes sense. I accept that. If that's what God and His church says, I agree with it. Others will say, well, that's ridiculous. Don't buy any of that. Okay, that's between them and God. But you never know what people can do unless you throw them the real stuff. In the natural, that batter put it out of the park. He thought he hit a home run. He got a junk pitch. He didn't hit a home run. Not in a real sense. He was deluded. He thought he had a home run. And he got a home run in the score. But he didn't get a home run. He was given that. He didn't get the real stuff. Give him the real stuff. Maybe we can change some of these stats. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. All right, I gave out the phone number. I gave you the real stuff. I'm making it easy for you. And I just want to say to Debbie from Pennsylvania, she was one of the first ones to call in figuring out those last two digits. And that's just a special place in my program, I'll tell you that right now.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere. And that's a doctor's order.
The Alexian Brothers, a Catholic religious order of men, look back on 800 years of service.
Our concern was always with feeding the poor, nursing the sick, and burying the dead. There was a time when most of our men were nurses. That's not the case anymore. We have MBAs, mechanics, engineers.
The brothers still serve the poor, the elderly, the sick, and dying.
I knew that as an Alexian Brother, I could make a difference in people's lives.
If you're a man generous enough to serve the weakest, call toll-free 1-800-556-0332.
The Ave Maria Communication Skills invites you to activate your faith. All men are invited to Bravehearts Men's Night, Thursday, November 6th at St. Joseph's in Lake Orion. The men are gathering at night this month for guest speaker Deacon Alex Jones, mass, pizza, and beer. To find out more, call 248-693-6215, extension 401. Bring the whole family to enjoy The Donut Man, live in concert, Saturday, November 8th at St. Gerald's in Farmington. Rob Evans is a recent convert to Catholicism, but he has been bringing scripture stories alive for kids for more than 20 years. Just $45 for the whole family gives you a whole night of entertainment and a pizza dinner to boot. For more details, call 248-477-7470. You can find many more events at our website, avemariaradio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077.
Missed an interview? Heard only part of one? Go to Ave Maria Radio on the Internet at avemariaradio.net. For nearly a year, we've archived every show from Crest in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, The Doctor is In, and Heart, Mind, and Strength. At avemariaradio.net, just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
Doctor is in 877-573-7. Leaving the last three digits open to find out who really wants to call this program. You got to go through 999 combinations. Debbie obviously had her phone on speed dial because she got those last two digits rather quickly, and she got through here. So I'm rather impressed, and I think that may be the way I do it from now on in future shows with the people who actually dial 99 different numbers to get through, because then I'll know they really want to talk to me. This is no cheap call. Hi, Debbie.
Hey, Dr. Ray.
How are you?
I cheated and looked at the paper from EWTN schedule. I have to be humble and admit my reliance on Mother Angelica's printing facility.
You're lucky I'm still taking this call. You charlatan, you fraud, you deceptive manipulator. But I am merciful.
Well, speaking of manipulators, I followed Colleen's advice to me a few weeks ago to stick close to my brother who's with a manipulator.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in the last few weeks, his partner, as I will refer to her, through her negligence, lost my brother's son that she was pregnant with. And so for the baby died 2 weeks ago, and, I'm trying to get some advice on how to give him some sort of comfort, because this woman has absolutely no belief in the soul, and he's just kind of walking through this on his own. He's been calling me every day, but, you know, it's a difficult situation because, get this, on Monday he called me to tell me that as part of her healing process, she needed to go out and spend $10,000 on new house furniture.
Yeah, that'll do it. Everything I've ever read said that's how you start the healing.
Yeah, and she showed absolutely no emotion when she came home from delivering the baby. So, and my brother's a basket case.
Is
got
your
any ideas
shocked?
On dealing
yeah.
with a sociopath?
Yeah, is your brother shocked by all this?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He has not seen this kind of behavior there?
I think, well, he's been floating in and out of denial. He's cracked a little bit in the last week, like within a couple of hours of the baby being delivered. She had a to-do list for him, like you wouldn't believe. And he called me on his cell phone and said that he can't do anything right. He's always in the doghouse. So at least he's giving me those little sparks of reality. So I know he's slipping out of the denial.
Has he got any sparks of spiritual faith left in him?
Slightly. Okay, you'll probably recognize my voice. I'm the ex-Jehovah's Witness, so my now you know what my brother and I had growing up.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so he's a mess.
First thing we got to establish when you talk to him,
mm-hmm.
you got to establish if there are huge differences between the way he looks at life morally and the way that this woman looks at life morally.
Mm.
Whether that's predicated on the Jehovah's Witness or whether it's predicated upon just a natural sense of morality still left alive in your brother.
Yeah.
I'd really want to know that. I'd want to say, so what do you think about the fact that the baby probably didn't have to die? What do you think about that? See what he says. See how much he defends. See how much he makes excuses. Or see if, in fact, he looks at this realistically and says, I know, this is hard for me to take because I realize what happened. If you establish how he's starting to see some things, ask him, what is it that is so powerfully keeping you in this relationship? I just want to know.
I can tell you, a four-year-old and an eight-month-old.
I see.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that definitely puts a big fat whammy in it.
So he is not going anywhere because he will figure, I'll lose my contact with my children.
Yeah. And in the meantime, she's fucking the life out of him.
Boy, do you see what happens, Deb, when you just don't do it the way God says to do it?
Yeah, unfortunately, he didn't have any real truth in his life to be able to really know.
Well, I think he's going to possibly reach a tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to hit a point where he says, I don't know if I can take this anymore. I can't control her. She is shutting me out emotionally from the kids. All kinds of craziness is going on. Now, obviously, they're not married, right?
Yeah.
So, legally, he might have to check and see what his options are at some point, anyway, regarding visitation, regarding the kids. I don't know, but I suspect, here's kind of where I'm at. My experience has been, a guy in a case like your brother's, who has no marital tie, and therefore there are no quote-unquote marital legal ties, is more likely to hit his limit. He's more likely to say, I can't live like this anymore. At that point, he's really got to decide how he's going to be a daddy to those kids. He also is probably going to have to decide, Is marriage an option? Can he marry this woman? I mean, right now he's kind of living with no morality, and he doesn't even know he's living with no morality. Can he marry this woman?
Well, here's the... Okay, now don't fall off your seat
I'll get you on Springer. I can get you on Springer.
Well, wait till you hear this. The woman that he's with is his not-yet ex-wife's cousin who convinced him that his wife, who's gorgeous and nice, was evil.
Is there any way we could solder together some of the brain connections for your brother here?
That's funny because he does welding sometimes. He's a plumber. Mm-hmm. I should tell him to pull out his...
Yeesh.
Yeah.
I guess what I would do is when I talk to him, I would just continue to ask, what's going on? Why is it happening? What do you think you can change? You know, what's keeping you in the relationship? How long you think you'll be able to last in this relationship? Why? Where? How are you making moral judgments? What are you basing this on? I would really try to clear his vision, I guess, because it certainly sounds like he's got his eyes open a slit and he's starting to see a little bit of light, but what he's seeing is hurting his eyes.
He'll sprinkle him with Windex.
Oh, man. Well, God bless you for what you're doing, Deb.
It's hard because I want to take her by the throat.
Well, I will share with you something. Uh-huh. And what you're describing is my world times 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, what you're describing is my world is what you're describing times 1,000. Because much of what I do as a therapist or as a friend or as acquaintance of people is they call me with these wretchedly miserable situations. And in our culture, they are multiplying like amoebas. 100 years ago, when 5% of marriages ended in divorce, or under 5%, you didn't have anywhere near, and you didn't have people living together, you didn't have anywhere near these kinds of complications. Horrid, ugly, wretched complications. You didn't have the drug use we have. You had much more of a church-attending population. You just didn't simply have this stuff. Now it's everywhere. Now it is everywhere. And you have to watch that you don't get so beaten down in trying to pull people out of the muck that you just simply become a shred of your former joyful self.
Mm.
And I'll tell you, that's a struggle I have. I am a naturally carefree guy. But when you experience nothing but wave upon wave upon wave upon wave of human misery, if you let it, it'll bring you down in subtle ways. So you got to be careful with your brother. You really do, because I think it could just drag you.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into the wound too deep.
Nope.
I want to just kind of like,
yep.
I don't want to put like Band-Aids so he doesn't see the wound. I want to be able to take care of the wound in such a way that, you know, some healing starts.
Sure. Well, let me put you this way. I'm not sure you can.
Mm.
But you give it your best shot. All right?
Listen to me.
Okay. See, well, I got a lot of people here. I got a lot of folks who listen who do. Thanks, Deb. See ya. I want to comment more on that, but I want to get to this call from Teresa in New York, because this is related to the opening monologue. I don't know if she heard it. Hi, Teresa from New York. Teresa?
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I have two daughters. One is 20 in college. She goes to Niagara University. It's very Catholic, thanks be to God. But the other one is 17. She's in high school. And last year in her French class, her fallen away Catholic teacher, when he talked about the French Revolution, asked the class, how many of you kids went to church when you were younger? And most of them raised their hands. And he said, now how many go now? And my daughter and another boy raised their hand. And he said, that's because you're weird and your parents force you to go.
And I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what.
And then he made them watch The Da Vinci Code. And
I'm heading straight for the school board. I'm going to tell you this right now. I am not one to do this kind of stuff, but that flat out stinks.
And
did you do anything about it?
Nothing.
Why? It's not too late.
Because I don't know his reasoning.
I don't care. Who cares his reasoning? That stinks.
School, my daughter was wearing her McCain Palin shirt, and her teacher for yearbook class said to her something about her shirt, and then he said, you're just stupid, and he walked out of the room.
This is, I tell you what, I've heard this 1,000 times over. I'm worried we're becoming just a fascist society.
It's horrible, because I told my husband about it, and he said, don't do anything, because
they
give her bad grades, and
no,
they don't care.
No, I'll tell you what. No. Normally, I don't go charging in there. My kid does something wrong, and I don't agree with what the teacher says. If it's a matter of conduct or behavior, I'm going to back the teacher all the way. But flat out, if what your daughter's saying is true,
yep.
And if there are witnesses in that class, there are no question about it. That is going to be reported, not because he's putting down the faith, but because he's being totally inappropriate as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That he's bringing his own political, moral agenda into class.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if that isn't bad enough, first of all, there's no way she should have had to watch The Da Vinci Code.
No, and the principal said, well, what exactly do you object about in the movie?
I object because this is a French class. It is not a class to watch movies that put down a faith with all kinds of scurrilous, inaccurate presentations held up as truth. That's what I object about. Tell me the reason, Mr. Principal, why you think this is okay.
It's just like the school's just gotten so bad. Yesterday she had to
pull them out.
Her English teacher just go on and on and on about how horrible the Republicans are and blah, 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 blah.
You know what she should do? She should take notes. And
she couldn't even eat like all day. She was so upset.
I'm telling you, sweetheart, first of all, this is disgusting.
Now, this is the girl I called in a few months ago. My daughters are the ones that I give money when they get high grades. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember that, dear.
Because I heard the teacher after me later. But I tell you, like in my daughter's economics class, she's like the only one of her friends that does not cheat.
Well?
She won't cheat just because she knows it's wrong. Like
These folks who are against our Catholic faith are getting... They're going to get the results of it. They're going to bemoan the fact that, gee, why didn't everybody cheat? Maybe it's because, in the words of C.S. Lewis, we laugh and mock at honor and then are shocked to find traitors in our midst.
Oh my gosh. I want to write that down.
All right. The actual quote is this. We mock honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst.
Okay.
Now, I will tell you what, dear. This is my opinion.
Yeah.
You marshal up your data.
Mm-hmm.
You get your daughter to get two or three or four of her friends who can come and confirm that that's exactly what happened. It's not just your daughter's report.
Mm-hmm.
You go into the principal and you say, what is going to happen about this?
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, well, when does the school board meet?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, this stinks.
Because I've considered going to the school board. I'm on a committee at the school. It's called the Shared Decision-Making Committee. And they wanted to do a so-called climate survey of the school. And it was basically a survey calling the kids homophobes and racist. And when I looked over the survey, I kind of ripped it apart and sent it back. And they haven't had a meeting since, unless they've been...
People don't realize how much this is happening. I'll tell you, it's happening.
I said, what about the religious persecution these kids go through?
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. You got to go, Teresa. I got to go.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll be back. Take care of business. This is Dr. Ray.
The Catholic Men's Night is a group of guys. Guys who want to grow in faith. Guys who want to grow in their responsibilities as husbands, fathers, sons, and disciples of Jesus Christ. The Ann Arbor Group will hold their next meeting Thursday, November 6th at the Christ the King Parish Center Gym in Ann Arbor. So just look for the big red barn. The speaker will be Tim Patton, who is a father of six and successful business leader. Tim is also actively involved in a number of pro-life initiatives, including the establishment of a clinic that helps women in crisis. At the Catholic Men's Night, Tim will speak about how a man can bring his faith into the workplace and find the path to spiritual fulfillment. Come for Mass at 7:30, followed by a time of fellowship and then Tim's talk. The meetings end promptly at 9:30. The Ave Maria Communications Guild encourages all men in our listening audience to give the Catholic Men's Night a try. You can't miss us. We're located just south of the Domino's Farms office complex. For more information, call 734-930-4524 or surf to catholic-men.org on the Internet.
The Ave Maria CD library continues to grow. To help Christians understand their duties regarding voting, one of the foremost Catholic teachers in the country recently visited three parishes in the area. We recorded one of these jam-packed sessions and have the CD available. It's Voting as a Catholic by Dr. Peter Kraft. Some elected representatives are perpetrating misinformation about church teaching. Professor Kraft removes all the confusions in very understandable terms in full accord with the magisterium of the church. This is a must-listen CD for yourself, your family, friends, and co-workers. Order yours today. Voting as a Catholic by Dr. Peter Kraft. All editions of Pressed in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, Christ is the Answer, Putting on the Mind of Christ, and The Doctor is In are also available. All single talks and programs are on high-quality CDs and are $8.50 each. To place your order or to inquire about a talk topic of interest to you, call 734-930-4506, 734-930-4506, or write orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Now, why did I get so passionate about that? I'll tell you why. That kid was thrown to the wolves. In the words of Andrew Kruschek, my producer, that kid was thrown to the wolves. And I don't know, first of all, the other reason is this is happening everywhere. This is not an isolated incident. Every one of you could bring up your own incidents where this kind of thing is occurring. We are no longer an open, and I don't want to beat the same drum, but the irony, and you always look for ironies and contradictions in psychology, but the irony is the people who loudest scream tolerance are the most intolerant people you'd ever want to come across. They're horrid that way. My son, first day of school, He's an engineer. He's in engineering. In one of his classes, English. His assignment, or optional assignment, because I think he may have been able to write about something else, too. Write your perspective on the North American Man-Boy Love Association. Many of you do not know what that is. I'm not going to describe it here. But suffice it to say, it is a militant organization. Write your perspective. I said, Andrew, what do you think of that? He said, I think it's ridiculous, Dad. I said, well, then write it. Yeah, but I don't know about my grade. I said, don't worry about it. I'll cover you. And I think in a lot of ways, that's what we should say, too. I know that our caller here said that her husband was worried that the teacher would give her daughter a bad grade. I'll tell you what. There's no way you can get a bad grade. You monitor it, you keep an eye on it, and if in any way, shape, or form you think it's because of that, you really take it to high heaven. Let me just share with you something. It's just an interesting thing. Now, some of you might say, oh, that's why Ray's so passionate. No, because my kids thought it was ridiculous. We had presidential canvassers in our neighborhood. I have three black and two biracial adopted children among my other children. So happens that my 12-year-old and my 13-year-old were outside. A person was canvassing for one of the presidential candidates. They asked, who are you voting for? My kid said, well, you know, obviously we can't vote. Well, who are your parents voting for? Well, we had a sign in our front yard, so they knew who we were voting for. And the statement was made, if that person is elected, don't you know you're going to go back to being slaves? Now, my 12 and 13-year-old are savvy enough to not be shook up by this. They thought it was stupid, ridiculous, inane. However, that was the comment. Now, somebody can say, well, see, that's one overzealous campaign worker. Yeah, probably is one overzealous, ignorant campaign worker. However, we could multiply these kinds of things regarding our faith and regarding anyone who holds traditional morality. Why can't people just go, you know, I don't agree with you. I think your opinion's way off. I don't buy it. Why do they have to personally assault? I think that says an awful lot about them. Teresa from Canada. Hi, Teresa. And speaking of, she's looking at the U.S. going, you guys are wildly right-wing compared to us.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth?
Unfortunately. Anyway, I have a discussion question.
Yeah?
Just a little bit of background. We are a devout Catholic family, and we have two children, a 7-year-old girl and a 12-year-old boy. And both my husband and I agree that the use of foul language is inappropriate in front of the children. However, he says it's only serious if you're taking the Lord's name in vain, and it depends on the context, whereas I tend to think it's more serious regardless. It's a sin against their purity, and I'd like you to enter the discussion, please.
Sure. In other words, I throw the deciding vote here.
Yeah. Well,
not really.
We'll see. It depends on what you say.
That's right. I only throw the deciding vote if it's on your side. Okay. I love your honesty, Teresa. That's cool. Ideally, people would respect your children's innocence. Realistically, they don't. Unless you put yourself in a position where you point it out to them, and be these family members, neighbors, people you have frequent contact with.
Can I just
sure. Go ahead.
Interrupt here? You see, my husband tends to use the coarse language fairly often when he gets mad or frustrated. And so the children kind of look at me, and I'm saying, oh, you're not supposed to say that word, but, you know, Dad sometimes says it because he's mad or frustrated or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, oh, this is a double standard. You know, how often can I say that?
I would probably shut your mouth.
Okay.
How many times do you think conservatively you've said it? Thousands.
I've made it an issue.
Yeah, I would.
And my husband says, you know, you're just making a big to-do about it. It makes it worse. and I'm like, yeah, okay, gotcha.
You got sins there, dear?
Yeah.
Okay. What if I said, Teresa, you're gossiping again. You're gossiping again. You're being critical. You're being critical in your assessment of somebody's motives. Oh, yeah. Okay, Ray. Okay, you're right. You're right. You're right. 2 days later. Teresa, you're gossiping again. You're being critical in somebody's motives. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know. You're right. Okay, okay. 2 days later. Teresa, why are you still doing that? It's not one of those gossipy statements. After about 50 of those, you want to smack me in the head.
Yes. Look, I can't help it. That's
right.
Who I am.
That's exactly. Aha! Ding, 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 ding. You, my dear, are a smart woman. You knew the point I was making.
Yep.
I do not in any way, shape, or form, so please, people, don't email me on this one. I do not condone what your husband's doing and what anybody else might do. That's wrong. They shouldn't do it. The question becomes, can you stop them by telling them? Well, you've already admitted with your husband you can't.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, you would have been able to stop him 50 times ago. When he does this, he does it in emotion. He does it on the spur of the moment. He probably regrets it later, but he does it. And what's happening now, because it is an issue in your marriage, is that he's defensive about it now. Now he's making excuses. Now he's defending himself. Now he's saying things like, well, you know, it's not going to hurt them, or they'll know that sometimes I just get mad, or that's who I am, because he's feeling cornered. Because you're basically saying, change, buddy, change, buddy, change, buddy. And he's going, even if I want to change, I'm struggling to change. I'm not doing it very well. Okay? So I would not make this a huge matter in your relationship. I would focus on the kids. I'd say, hey, guys, yeah, you guys talk that way, you're going to be in trouble. That's not a good way to talk. Daddy knows it's not a good way to talk. Unfortunately, big people sometimes do things they shouldn't do, and they do it a lot. And hopefully Daddy will get to the point where he doesn't do it anymore. But in the meantime, when that happens, yep, we just got to know those are ugly words, and maybe you guys can say something to Daddy. Maybe you guys can say, hey, Daddy, you pagan wretch. No, wait a minute. Okay, choose little softer words. Hey, Daddy, why are you talking that way? That's the way I would do it. Now, moving outside of your husband to other people. By and large, unless the language gets really coarse, I don't say a whole lot. Because if these are people I have a good relationship with, then they know. And then they're going to really try not to do this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If these are folks that I come in sort of kind of contact with every so often, I may have to reassess how much I want to come in contact with them when my kids are little and being around. But even at that, for the most part, I remember the line that a youth minister said. He was selling his car to a guy, and the guy was just flinging around a cuss word every other sentence. The guy said, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a youth pastor. I'm sorry for my language. Oh, my. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to use that language. And the youth pastor said, well, who am I? If you can talk that way in front of God, who am I? That's kind of a good line. You know, bottom line is, they're talking that way in front of God.
Right.
And so those are my thoughts on that there, Teresa. I don't know where my vote's going to get tallied up, but I just want to say this. I want to recount.
Okay. What, you're not happy with the results?
I think there's voter fraud here. You're going to go tell your hubby. I talked to Dr. Ray, and he says you should move out of the house if you can't control your mouth.
He'll say go talk to somebody else.
Let's get another vote.
Yeah.
Bless you, dear. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. All righty. Let's get to some of your calls after this next break. I'm going to shock Andrew and take a break early. That never happens. 8775. All right, the whole thing. 8775 Pep Talk. That's the acronym. They didn't do that acronym on purpose. That's just the best one we could find out of those numbers we had. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program is The Doctor Is In. Ave Maria Radio is the producer. Their website, Ave Maria Radio, one big long run on word, .net. My website, drray, drray.com. Some of you will email me and say, Dr. Ray, you don't have our speaking information up on your schedule. That's right. I only put it up 2 months in advance. Okay? And it's slowing down now. Heading into the holidays, things get very, very quiet, which is good. Gives me a chance to go home and say to my wife, what is your name again? Do I know you? We are married, aren't we? It's Dr. Ray. I'll be back.
You're listening to The Doctor. Come in. Pull up a couch. Let's talk. The Doctor is in.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Barack Obama didn't wait 24 hours before making his first decision to promote abortion as the president-elect. Obama has offered the White House Chief of Staff position to pro-abortion Representative Rahm Emanuel of Illinois, who has a 0% pro-life voting record. The White House Chief of Staff is a key advisory role, and offering the position to Emanuel confirms Obama will promote abortion as president. Sarah Palin became an overnight rock star on the conservative side of the political spectrum and motivated pro-life voters who were anemic in their support of John McCain. Hours after McCain's election loss, the Alaska governor demurred on her own potential presidential bid in 2012. She says she's not thinking about it yet. Exit polls show voters who said she was a factor in their vote supported McCain. This is Life News Radio.
Have you taken the time to ask God for an end to abortion? St. James wrote that, "You have not because you ask not." Or in more modern terms, you don't have what you want because you have not asked for what you want. Remember to pray for a culture of life.
Exit polling data from the 2008 presidential election did not directly address the question of abortion as it did in the 2004 elections. That's because the victory for Barack Obama appears to be unrelated to social issues, with the lion's share of voters saying they voted based on the economy. For pro-life headlines you can read in less than a minute each day delivered to your email address, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson.
You are tuned in to The Doctor Is In here on Ave Maria Radio. I'm Dr. Ray Grady. My claim to fame in Catholic radio, five-time Catholic Radio Renaissance Man of the Year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, some of you have pointed out to me in emails that, Dr. A, it's Renaissance. Excuse me, they changed it. It was Renaissance, but when I won it the fourth year, they changed it to Renaissance. Man of the Year. How do you get it? Oh, you have to have a perfect combination, perfect blend of virility, estrogen American sensitivity, communication, sharing, emotive, as well as humility. Well, you don't have to have humility. You just have to have a virtue. But humility, virtue, is kind of interchangeable with me. I've just kind of got the humility to the point where I pretty much decimated the competition with my humility. Yeah, it was just something that was so noticeable that they had to vote for me. Chris from Portland, Oregon. Hi, Chris. Dr. Ray here.
Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Ray.
Sure.
My question, or your thoughts on my son the other day, is 14 years old, and he had a look on his face like there was something on his mind. So I finally got him to tell me what was on his mind, and he just basically said, "I'm gay." I asked him, you know, what would make you think that you were gay? And he basically said that, you know, that he finds other boys attractive. And so,
okay.
Got kind of a bombshell there. I didn't expect it. He's always been a pretty, he's not an aggressive boy like, you know, a lot of teenage boys are. But, he's always always seemed to be interested in girls before that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's settle you a little bit. It's not all totally unusual, especially in our culture, and especially in a culture which sometimes openly pushes people toward their sexual confusion, that a 14-year-old kid would be confused about his sexual orientation.
Well, and that's exactly what I said to him. I said, you know, it's not, you know, an unnatural thing for you to go through this during this period of time in your life. But you have to, you know, stay focused and know what, you know, the right path is.
Well, there are a lot of directions we could go with this. One of these is I would explore, if possible, where he's been on the Internet. A lot of boys stumble across certain kind of images on the Internet, and then it leads them to label themselves because the images were appealing to them. That's the first thing. So that's something I would really want to check into. Secondly, it sounds like he has a more sensitive, gentle temperament. And it may be that he's not, quote-unquote, typically male-oriented. He doesn't like the rough-and-tumble sports. He doesn't like the stuff that his peers seem to be attracted to. That bothers him. He's more likely to pursue other more gentle interests. That's fine. That doesn't mean he's homosexual at all. I would also explore more with him regarding when these thoughts and feelings started to take root. There is very little evidence that says people are born that way. All of the data basically says it is a combination of many, many factors. Temperament might be one, but you need a lot of other factors to kick in also to round out this picture. There's a book I'm going to refer to you, Chris. It's called A Parent's Guide to Preventing Homosexuality by a psychologist named Joseph Nicolosi. Okay?
Okay.
He offers a lot of observation from his extensive work with homosexuals, both male and female. He offers it from a particularly moral perspective, although he doesn't hit that hard in the book. But it's clear that he views this, there are moral issues that the profession ignores, and I think the moral issue is a big one for your son. He will give you information also to give your son regarding what the research says, that the outcomes, the sometimes very tragic outcomes, of a homosexual lifestyle, especially when lived to its fullest, are. And these are all factors that have to be considered. I don't know what your son is thinking, but an awful lot of kids convince themselves of this on the basis of incorrect information, incorrect reasoning, incorrect conclusions. And for them to say, well, okay, I just gotta suck up my gut and just say I'm not homosexual, but gee, I sure feel homosexual, Dad. I just can't fight who I am. I think we can help your son towards this idea that just because these feelings are occurring now does not mean this. And this is a huge decision. It will have unbelievable life ramifications for him. Not only marriage, but morally. It will have ramifications regarding his physical health. It will have ramifications regarding all manner of emotional struggles that are there in the research. Can't deny them. So that's all the picture we've got to give to him. And I think that Nicolosi talks about a particular therapy called reparative therapy. That's basically his approach to saying, all right, let's explore this and let's help you to get past some of these thoughts and feelings that you're convincing yourself of. And that's very common with a younger kid, especially given the amount of confusion that's available at that age. So I would recommend that book. It'll give you a good jump start. May even be able to help you and your son get into some kind of counseling along the lines that Nicolosi does to help your son. Okay, Chris?
Okay, thank you, Doctor.
Okay, bud. Good luck. the statistics, the best statistics we have in the population at large, is that 1-2% of males are homosexual, active homosexuals. It is not 10%. That is a figure that is based on some horrifically faulty research, terribly faulty research, bad population sample size, and skewed population. So as a result, especially given our culture, and given our culture's approach to you got to be who you are, and if that's who you are, well, good, let's celebrate it. Can push and influence vulnerable young kids who really often don't know their own mind, who often don't know their own feelings, who are struggling with who they are or images or desires. And as long as the door is wide open for them, they are oftentimes pushed through it. I would really, 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 really want to get down to the very deepest stuff on what's causing Chris's son to think this way. I really would. Karen from Florida. Hi, Karen. Dr. A.
Hello?
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm calling about the church's point of view in domestic violence. I'm in a situation
They're against it.
Yeah, well, but see, the point, I guess what I'm trying to sort out, and I am going to counseling, is to what extent, you know, I mean, if it's not, and this is where my counselor tried to tell me that I'm minimizing it, if I'm not the one that's being actually physically hurt all the time, but objects in the home and things of that nature, then I'm thinking, okay, maybe this isn't so bad, like I can deal with this, or and then there's just that because I am a Catholic and I've always been brought up Catholic, I have a strong belief in the institution of marriage. I mean, I really, and going to church and everything, there's, you know, I feel like I'm always surrounded, you know, by couples and families, and that's the way it should be. And so I toil with that back and forth with, okay, this is not, my situation is not how it truly should be. But then I always say, well, you never know when you're on the outside what's happening on the inside. And then I try to convince myself I need to just focus on what's going on with me personally. So I guess that's where I'm at, is that the church is always pushing marriage. And
okay, let me jump in here, dear. I am not going to say a word regarding any kinds of counseling issues or direction. You have a counselor. And that would be at all not my place. I can tell you what the church says. The church says that you have the right to protect yourself. If you're in a situation that is dangerous to you, for example, physically, yes, that may be an appropriate time to separate with hope of reconciliation, with hope of healing. But you do have the right, maybe even the obligation, if the situation is serious, to separate yourself and your children from, for example, a violent spouse. Now, it sounds like your spouse, or not your spouse, sounds like your counselor is not sure where you're at with your Catholic faith. Your counselor is telling you this is a bad situation, need to get out of it. Have you made sure your counselor understands your very strong commitment and feelings towards marriage?
Yes, I think I have, you know, shared that I think that in my own personal belief, I think without that, that's, you know, part of why we have so many other challenges and issues in our society, is because there's so little belief in that. As you were mentioning earlier, you know, living, living together without being married and children out of wedlock. And I think if people really, you know, thought of themselves as, and just put that, you know, forefront of everything else, and things would be better.
Does your counselor understand that this goes for you beyond the idea that I can, quote-unquote, tolerate a certain amount of violence as long as it's not directed toward me personally, and it goes into the whole view of marriage. And does your counselor accept that these are your very deep-held religious beliefs, or does your counselor feel that you're foolish for having those beliefs? Now, you don't have to answer me, but I think that's something you need to explore with your counselor.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, your husband throws things, but, quote-unquote, not at you, or he misses, or whatever, you know, that's stuff you got to talk about with your therapist. But you do have the obligation to look at the situation, make a good, wise judgment on how dangerous it is for you or if there are children, and mm-hmm. then act accordingly. The church would never say you have to stay in a situation where you are physically at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's it. Now, it's not saying that you have to run off and divorce, but it is saying you may have to separate yourself, hopefully temporarily, from the situation so that healing can occur without you being at risk. There you go, Karen. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. For those of you waiting, Maria and Ann, you're first up. I will be here tomorrow, God willing. We'll be filling in for Colleen. So we'll be in tomorrow. So if you wish to call back, you will be first up. Now, if you both call back at the same time, it'll be a tie. I will judge it on the basis of my very, very, very extensive college training. I will flip a coin. Yep. But it will be certainly a fair coin, an unaltered coin, and there will be no recount on the coin. Thanks, Andrew, for the call screaming. Thanks for the board open. Thanks for the production. Appreciate it very, very much. So, where am I headed tonight? Boy, our affiliates in Cincinnati might take a look at the website. I'll be up your way, maybe. Hour and a half away. Something like that. It's not in St. Henry. I forget the name of the town, but it's right there on the Ohio border. Right by 70. Walk with God. You got kids. Hold them tight by the hand.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta, and I've enjoyed broadcasting from the town of Ave Maria, home of Ave Maria University in Southwest Florida. It's a unique community organized around a beautifully designed oratory and Italian-style piazza. The town not only houses the university, but there's a Catholic elementary school, local businesses, a water park, world-class golf courses, a tennis club, and, of course, a wide range of homes available for purchase. The university is a source of concerts and lectures, art shows and student performances, a virtual cornucopia of Catholic culture, excellent for families or singles. But seeing is believing. I'd like you to take a virtual tour of the town by going to AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. And imagine it as a home for your children or a haven for your retirement. Enjoy the sights at AveMariaRadio.net, and while there, register. There's absolutely no obligation, and you'll discover countless opportunities at the town of Ave Maria.
Faith, family, and the culture of life. It's Family Man with Catholic therapist Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Where does evil come from? Is most evil caused by bad people, or does everyone have a dark side? New research by social psychologist Phil Zimbardo suggests some surprising answers. It turns out that no one, save for comic book supervillains, wakes up in the morning and thinks, I think I'll be evil today. Instead, what happens is that people convince themselves that their good ends are sufficient to justify their bad means. I want an orderly household.